Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 36, July 8, 2010. Can you believe it? 36?
36?
Yeah, I don't know why. That's one of those numbers. I don't know. It's because there's a 3 and there's a 6 in it, and it's like 3 times 12. It's just a nice rounding number.
It's a square?
Of course, it was a long time ago for me, 36, like 10 years ago. But yeah, nice curvy numbers. Gentle. Yes. So, hey, what is happening? Did the social media world take a time out for the 4th of July? Or?
I don't think so. In fact, a lot of people had a bad weekend. There were over 400 iTunes accounts hacked over 4th
was
of
yours?
July weekend. Not that I know of. I haven't seen any charges on it on any of my cards.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm hoping not. Hmm. But then again, I haven't used my iTunes account in a really long time because I don't buy music.
Oh, wait. Now, if it was your account, you would have been charged for some kind of a program, right? Some kind of an app, right?
Well, it turns out that it was a Vietnamese developer who was trying to push his iPhone app to the top of the bestseller list. And so you would have been charged for this particular app. I'm not sure if it would have shown up. Like, for instance, when I buy a particular song on iTunes, it doesn't necessarily show that I bought this and this song by The Shins or whatever. It just shows I had an iTunes charge. Oh. So I'm not sure that it would have actually said that I bought this Vietnamese developer's app.
Mm-hmm.
But iTunes has said 400 accounts were hacked. But third parties have said that in order to drive his app so far up the bestseller list, and I think it got to like number 2, he would have had to hack thousands of accounts. And so the number could actually be much greater than iTunes is, or than Apple is actually acknowledging. But the scary thing is that they seem to be treating it like it's not a big deal because, you know, these 400 or so accounts are such a small percentage of the total iTunes users.
Yeah.
There are over 150 million iTunes account holders.
That reminds me of, like, 5 gallons a day or something. What was the story for BP when this little drippage?
Oh, yeah. It was like, it's just a slow leak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that kind of sounds like the same kind of thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what this reminds me of. So what does Apple say about this? Oh, what? No big deal.
I'm not sure they've put it in those exact words, but they seem to be treating it like it's no big deal.
They're gonna get to the point, kind of like BP, with no matter what they say, somebody's gonna find a way to twist it around and stuff it in their ear.
I think Apple used to have this wonderful reputation as kind of the underdog in OS systems. You know, they were hip and happening, but kind of like the indie music of the computer world.
Yeah.
And now they've gained so much popularity and so much power on the technological front that I think people are now beginning to view them as the man, as the big corporation, whereas it used to be Microsoft was the man, and Apple was like the way to rebel against the man. Don't buy, you know, a Dell, buy a Mac. And
right. So what are people in the social realm saying about this? Have you seen any flack about it?
My head.
Because, you know, those people are ruthless. They tell it like it is.
Well, I mean, Steve Jobs gets a ton of crap now.
Steve Jobs?
Oh.
If he's the underdog, the underdog, which would be the underdog, we could, like, call him Stevie. But if they, like, wind up dethroning, let's say, who? Microsoft. Then we would be Billy Gates.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean,
Microsoft could be the underdog.
Bill Gates now has pulled the 180 and is no longer evil. He's doing philanthropic work all over the world.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I guess there's hope sometimes when you take some people who practice capitalism and are very successful at that game, then turn around and do good things with it. So that would be great. I'm sure lots of people would love that opportunity.
Absolutely. Give me billions of dollars, and I'll do some good things with it after I buy my Lamborghini.
Oh, is that it? Okay. I'm gonna have one of those electric cars. I forget who makes it now. Anyway, so that's it with the iTunes.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So what else do we have? We've got Facebook, another big corporation that's losing PR ground
all the time. I think they're making some of that up.
You know, it just seems like the current trend right now is to kind of dislike, I mean, who has good favor right now? Google, not so much. Apple, not so much. Facebook, not so much. Microsoft, everyone's, I mean, I haven't seen a headline for Microsoft
right.
in
oh, yeah.
months.
There has been.
The only thing I've seen for them is how their Kin phone, like, crashed and burned.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
But Facebook.
Everybody's favorite target.
Everyone's favorite target. A survey saying that 1/3 of women aged 18 to 34 check Facebook when they first wake up in the morning, even before they go to the bathroom, before they do anything at all, they check Facebook.
Oh.
And 21% of women ages 18 to 34 check Facebook in the middle of the night. And I haven't been known to do that, but I have checked for texts and email on my phone in the middle of the night. But I've never gone so far as, I think, as to open my computer and check, see if I got a Facebook message.
I think, you know, we could might classify that as the same thing.
It's, I mean, similar, but much easier to check my phone, I think.
Oh.
Then, like, you know, open my computer, load the page.
What? What do you mean open the computer?
All I have to do with my phone is just turn over and, like, click it and see if there are any notifications.
Yeah, right. You know, with Facebook, too, you need a nice little Facebook app on that incredible device you're now
toting
around.
Oh, I do have a Facebook app, I guess. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my phone came. I can't believe we haven't talked about that yet. My new Android phone came, and the battery life, so far, I mean, I was never expecting a great battery life.
Oh.
But it's actually gotten better now that I've switched the Wi-Fi off. I had the Wi-Fi on.
I never heard you were expecting at all, so that's you know, it's good. Is there something on So how is that? Is it incredible?
It is pretty incredible. The touchscreen is very responsive. It is
now, what
lightning
does that mean?
Fast.
Like you butt dial people?
No, it actually has a pretty good locking mechanism, although I wish that you could unlock it with the joystick button instead of the button on the top, but now I've actually downloaded a program so I can also unlock it with the buttons on the side, so that none of that's a problem. But, you know, it's very responsive to the touch. You know, you can do the zoom on web pages really easily with the two fingers and scroll through the pages, and it's really nice that it's got multiple home screens.
And you're coming from the BlackBerry perspective things.
I mean, and that now that I've got this big screen, you know, that I can touch, that little rolly mouse thing was horrible, completely unresponsive, completely inconvenient. And I am so glad for this switch, but it's also lightning fast. The Snapdragon really is just.
Now tell
so
us, tell us the Snapdragon, so we're not wondering.
It's the processor.
Okay.
And I believe it's a gigahertz. It's very fast. I can load pages probably in a tenth of the time that it would take my BlackBerry to load.
So you can be like, you can now be very social.
Oh, very social.
And very fast.
As long as I have battery life.
Okay.
That's the key.
Okay.
But I've got the Facebook app. I've got the Twitter app. I've got the Foursquare app. I've got all kinds of map apps. I've got the Google Sky app so that I can look at all the constellations, which is so cool.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was hoping that's what you were going
to
say.
But, you know, probably when it comes right down to it, what I'll use it for the most is my Gmail.
Oh.
But the Gmail interface is so much nicer than than it was on my BlackBerry.
Oh, okay. You know, they say, you know, and they've been saying it for 15 years, and maybe it'll never go away, but email is still the killer app. Period. As far as the web goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not just in the phone realm, but email is still king. Well, that's cool. I look forward to hearing more good stuff about the Droid.
Incredible.
Incredible.
I do like it. I will be reviewing it on my blog this evening.
Okay. And this is from the good folks at HTC.
Yes.
Do we know what that stands for?
No.
Happy times are coming. How about that?
But their slogan I really like is quietly brilliant.
Quietly brilliant. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Because you've got to be quietly brilliant. Because if you were out there talking about how brilliant you were, people just won't believe you. You know, you just can't.
But speaking of people who are starting up nice little brilliant companies, we've got an interview.
We do.
Great. We have an interview with Ash Burns.
Well, let's go to that. Here we go. And we're here with Ash B, which actually stands for Ashley Burns.
Yes.
But the Ash B has such a nice ring to it. I just want to say that. I just want to keep saying Ash B. But hey, welcome to the Social Expedition.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And amongst other things, you are a local artist.
I am. Scary. Don't run away.
And so you and husband Paul.
Yes.
I've kind of, like, if I understand this correctly, getting this thing off the ground that's been in the planning stages for a few years now.
Yes, it has. Together, I think we make a great team. The creative aspects and the flavor come from me, and all of the social power and direction and ideas and marketing come from him, and that's really what he's passionate about. So he's showing the way, showing me the way.
So you started off when you headed off to art school to be a painter.
I did.
And you discovered these other mediums while you were there.
I did. It turns out that everything I saw, I wanted to learn how to do. Right now, I am really enjoying the pen, decorating paintings, fabric, other things with my handwriting, and mm-hmm. I guess you might call it doodles and my designs and how those work in layers.
Yeah.
And then taking what I've been doing with the pen and painting into my sewing and combining as many different patterns and textures as I possibly can.
Okay, so this is all kind of coming together. You've had some good experiences with some referral business coming
your way. I have.
You know, for right now, what can we buy from you? What mediums? Where are you finding the commercial connection here with your?
Well,
art?
Today you can buy anything from me that has to do with writing. Mm-hmm. I do calligraphy. I can design you some note cards or personalized stationery sets, or you can buy anything just about sewn. I do bags. I sew all types of bags and design those. I'm working on iPad bags to laptop bags, baby bags, luggage, whatever. Just like with my love of art and different mediums, anything I've tried to do, I've fallen in love with. So right now you can specifically go on and order different types of bags, whatever suits your needs, or you can order anything handwritten. I've done many other things and haven't really crossed anything off my list of what I won't do, but mm-hmm. currently that's what you can go and purchase.
So the handwriting, and this is to order as well. We can say,
yes.
Hey, we want this to say.
Everything is commission-based, so I don't have anything like Etsy or on eBay or anything like that. We can go click, buy it now. It's more, I like that. I'm interested in you making something for me, and I ask you a couple of questions about mm-hmm. your personal style, and we go from there. And then I make you something, and you buy it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's this creative process that comes to play here, no doubt. Like a translation, you're translating some notion that somebody has in their head into something that they can actually put in their hand.
Absolutely. It's kind of difficult. You have to know going in and understand that what I have in my brain for what a laptop bag means isn't necessarily the same thing as you. And I talk to my students about this. I'm also an art teacher. It's how I'm currently paying all the bills. But I talk about the difference between seeing something and knowing what it looks like in your head. And I could tell you, imagine what a throne looks like, and I could have 30 different kids thinking of 30 different thrones.
Right.
And then I say, okay, imagine one that's big and gold. And then, so that's kind of narrowing it down a little bit. And then I'll bring it in and have you look at it. Now all of a sudden I've gone from 30 different variations of a chair to a throne to a gold large throne to now you're looking at it. So now everybody has the exact same thing in their head. So you have to know going in that I'm interpreting what your style is. So I have to ask a lot of probing questions and just make sure that I know what the person's really going to be interested in. Because just because they say, I like modern, doesn't mean that they like modern. Doesn't mean that they like my version of modern. So you have to be probative and understand and be really patient while you're trying to learn who your customer is.
So with, you know, when you're producing some works for your clients, I guess at some point you've got to say, okay, I've hit the mark, here we go, this is good enough to share with your client. And
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons it took a couple of years to get off the ground, because when I started sewing, I'm so meticulous, I'm so obsessive, that I wanted my ability to match what I thought it should be, mm-hmm. At least. So I made a lot of bags. I practiced, got my skill level to what I thought it could be, to where I was comfortable selling that product. And now every time I make a bag, of course, there are things that I'm looking as I'm designing it, because I don't just work from a pattern. I make up my bag design. So I make up the patterns. I'm not working from anything that you can go buy. So each time that I make something, I'm thinking, how can I improve upon this? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of its functionality. I want it to be utilitarian. I want it to be useful. Of course, it's not just something you're putting on the wall. This is a work of art that somebody's going to be using and carrying around. And what good would it be if it was only somewhat useful? So I look at the utilitarian aspect of it and how I can make it better that way, and the beauty aspect, the physical aspects of it, like what can I do to make it a better product, make it better looking for the next mm-hmm. time. But I do, there's a part where I have to say, okay, this one's great.
So let's bring the web into the scene here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you able to use some Absolutely. Of these newer tools in your creative process? Or
I'd say that the 21st century tools are absolutely a vital part of Ashby's success and how we've framed Ashby Design. I guess thinking back 10 or 20 years ago, if somebody would have said, hey, you can start a small business and reach somebody in England tomorrow, that would have been an insane prospect. Mm-hmm. You would start locally and hope to build and hope to get larger and design your product for people that are in your market around you. But with the internet and with the tools that we have around us, it's absolutely absurd to think that you wouldn't want to engross yourself in those, because they're so useful. And through using tools like Facebook and Twitter and different blogging sites, you can reach people all around the world in a snap of a finger. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we've taken and we've done. We've got a Facebook page, a fan page for Ashby Design. We're on Twitter, we're on Flickr, and we're on Tumblr. That's the blog that I do. And I use each one of them very differently to reach different types of people, because there's so many different types of people out there, to really spark what they might be interested in and try to use those tools to reach the most broad and diverse audience that's really ever been available to people mm-hmm. starting up businesses.
You know, we were chatting earlier, and your background is more, you're a real face-to-face type of person.
Yes.
And using technology, and by technology we're talking about the telephone on up.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
If you're not face-to-face, you're not in your element. You're pretty much down to business, right?
And so absolutely. I'm not. I love being face-to-face with people. I love hanging out. If you ask any of my friends, I don't talk on the phone. If I'm not a gabber. If you're calling with a purpose for us to talk about something,
yeah.
I want to get that purpose over with and get off the phone and get on with whatever I'm doing. So I haven't really used, like in the past, for personal reasons or for my personal life, I've used Facebook to, I guess, Facebook stalk my friends and see what they're up to and mm-hmm. see what trips they've been on and
yeah.
really catch up with people I haven't seen in years. I haven't used it, like Amber Mack says in Power Friending, to have friends all over the world. I haven't done that for my personal life. It's not something that in the past has generally interest me, but I see the validity of it for small business. If I go out there and I see people that are fans of different businesses locally, like Muddy's Bake Shop, which is fabulous cupcakes, mm-hmm. or of Luna Web, or of things that I find interesting, then they might find my site interesting. So I'll go in and I'll try and make new friends, friend people up. And it's a very different, it'd be like going to the gym and making a friend at the gym, or talking to the people next to you at the restaurant you're at and then sparking up a friendship there, or finding new friends at work. It's just the 21st century way of doing it,
mm-hmm.
which is new to me. So somebody who doesn't like talking on the phone, I have to wake up every day and I purpose to do these things. On Facebook, I purpose to friend people, to ask them if they're interested in my site, or hey, go check this out, to find new ways to get people sparked and interested in that. But I also know that on Facebook, if I'm constantly updating my feed every day, 10 and 20 times a day, people get annoyed with that. They don't want you to
Sure.
constantly update your feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I only try and post one or two things on it a day and make a couple of comments. But then on my blog, people that read blogs want to know everything. They want to know what's going on. It interests them to read everything about that. And that's also out of my comfort zone or something that I'm used to doing. So I also have to wake up and purposefully go on to Tumblr and write what's going on in my brain, get it down on the page, and be detailed about it and offer that up. But then there's people that want to know what you're doing every second. So then there's Twitter. So I'm writing and I'm commenting on people and I'm trying to be engaging. And not, you don't just talk about Ashby Design. I talk about me. I talk about things I'm interested in. Because if I can make friends and be friendly with people, then they'll be interested in what's going on my site. They'll be interested in what's going on Ashby. So that's kind of the approach we've taken it. And each one of them has a very specific, different purpose. And the people that use them for different things. Whereas if I only posted one tiny little 50 character blip on Tumblr, that wouldn't get any interest.
Yeah.
Whereas if I posted a book on Facebook, I'd have a lot of people annoyed with me and clicking ignore a feed. And great. That's not what I want either. So it's about understanding, I think, what each one of the sites can be used for and why people use that site to take advantage of it for your business.
So you don't have all these things tied together.
We are starting to. We do.
Oh, no.
We do a little bit. You can go on my Facebook fan page and on my regular Facebook page, Ashley Randall Burns, it has Tumblr updates and it'll have Twitter updates. And so people know whenever I posted something on Tumblr, whenever I post something on Twitter, those feeds are linked together.
Yeah.
On my fan page on Facebook, I have links to all of my other social sites. So they're kind of linked, but I keep my Facebook fan page kind of open. I don't want people to get 5,000 updates a day. I do not want people to ignore that news feed. So I keep that kind of clean.
You've done a really good job of taking advantage of some of the risk minimizing opportunities that the web has to offer. Like right now, if you go to Ashb, and that's just A-S-H and then the letter B, design.com.
Yes.
You will wind up going to your Facebook page.
Yes.
Good job. And so at some point, when the time is right, you guys, you're going to have a separate website. But for now, you're taking advantage of the fact that you can direct a domain name right over there to Facebook.
Absolutely. We bought it through
GoDaddy. Or something like that.
Yeah. We bought it through GoDaddy. That's where our domain's through. And with the package that we purchased, we have the domain name and we have 5 email addresses. So it was really important to me that I wanted my email address. I wanted my business card. I wanted people to look at it and think that looked professional. Every tiny aspect, and I'm a very big detail person, has really been thought out. We did spend the money on it. It costs under $100 to buy that domain name and the 5 email addresses, but we forked out the cash to do that because it was important to me. We even bought a Google number. We have several, didn't buy, we registered for several Google numbers. I have a Google number that's affiliated through Ashby Design, and the convenient thing about that is that I don't have to have my cell phone out there. So if you're uncomfortable with giving your cell phone to the entire world or posting it on Facebook, you don't have to. That's not my cell phone number. That's my Google Voice number. So if you're kind of uncomfortable about kind of feeling your way out, that's a wonderful way to go. Jump into the 21st century. You don't even have to buy it. It's free. It's awesome.
Now, did you check in here at LunaWeb today when you got
it? Online or check in?
You know, check in like Foursquare?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm learning to do all that. My husband does all of that. This is what I'm learning to do. So yeah, I did not check in on Foursquare. I do have it on my phone, my iPhone that I'm absolutely in love with. I'm learning all of those things. So if my husband was here right now, we both would be checked in and get whatever discount he would have gotten.
Have you had any specific successes that you could point to social media and go
absolutely
without naming any names, but like,
absolutely there's a couple of clients that I'm working with right now that are friends of friends of friends, and one of them just bought a couple of weeks ago. She was interested in 2 bags. This is not somebody that I knew personally. It's really easy, you know, sometimes to sell to your family or to sell, a friend of a family. But this is somebody that lives 5 hours away that goes all over the country. And she bought 2 bags. And then when I drove down there to give them to her, she ordered 8 more. So that's not someone that's... 4 of them are gifts. So four for herself, four wow. gifts.
Nice.
So there's actually everyone that I'm selling to right now is somebody that I probably wouldn't have said, hey, do you want to buy a bag for me?
Yeah.
But social media has really helped. This person specifically, they live 5 hours away. It's not just convenient for me to call up someone and go, hey, you're friends with my husband's sister. Do you know who I'm talking about? So it was a conversation that never had to happen. She just saw it on Facebook, liked it, looked at my stuff, and messaged me and said, I need some bags. So that's been really convenient. So that's been really cool. I definitely attribute all the products I'm making right now to working with social media. I think that another important thing is to be proactive about it. Paul, my husband, is always trying to come up with creative, fun ways to spark people's interest and to keep people updated on what's going on and keep people interested in my site. And one of the things that he thinks about are different like games people can play. And one thing I'm kind of batting around right now is doing kind of like a scavenger hunt for some of my bags. He's talked about maybe us putting a couple of bags around Memphis and maybe around Louisiana and just taking some like scrapbook picture, not scrapbook, like scavenger hunt photos of guess where I'm at. If you get to the bag first, like finders keepers, whoever gets to it gets to keep it. And there's a gift certificate for more Ashby stuff inside the bag once you find it. So that kind of thing is kind of fun. He's also thought of some other promo bags. I'm making a bag right now for Amber Mack and her new book, Power Friending. We've contacted her. We follow her on Twitter. And she's actually liked my page, so that's kind of cool. And I'll be mailing her a bag out in a couple of weeks that's to the theme of her book, Power Friending. If anybody's out there in Memphis really thinking about starting a business and thinking about the use of social media, I definitely would recommend reading that book. It's a really easy read. Really good book. Highly recommend it. You can get it on your iPad or you can get it hard copy.
So how did you get it?
Did I get it? We have a we have the iPad version.
Okay, so you're reading books on an iPad.
Yes.
And that's okay with you.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you this. You're a very visual person.
I am.
So with that, I imagine that you probably even have a harder time reading books in some type of a reader than most people. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, they enjoy the tactility and being able to touch a book and you know, feel the paper and this type of thing. And so I imagine that's probably rings even truer with you being an artist. And here you're reading a book off an iPad.
I'm kind of an anomaly in a lot of things, I think. I'm the artist that loves math. I would also consider myself a tech geek, so I feel like the iPad's the future. It excites me as a teacher and what I can see the potential for using it in the classroom and taking away all those 40-pound backpacks that are walking out there.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
I love using it as a book. It's really easy to flip through. Now, whenever I write a paper, I like to print it out and edit it. I find it a little difficult to do it on a soft screen.
Yeah.
But reading on the soft screen on the iPad feels good. I like how you flip pages. Mm. I love the books like Alice in Wonderland that are just a work of art. I don't want to see like children's books go away. I don't know that it bothers me to not have the tactile sort of feel of a book in your hand.
Yeah.
It would bother me to have artwork go away. So like beautifully illustrated children's books, people like Eric Carle and The Hungry Caterpillar. And
okay. So real quick here, as we kind of wrap things up, what is a bag for the iPad? What is this? Is this like something just for women or is this like a protective thing? Or?
Absolutely not. It's slim. It's long and skinny and slim. I like a bag that I think for the iPad needs to feel good. It needs to not weigh you down like a laptop bag would. I feel that most laptop bags are really heavy and cumbersome and have lots and lots of protective stuff in it. And it's just heavy and blah. The iPad bag I'm working on is it's function is to add to your day, not to weigh you down. So in designing that, I worked to make it something that would be along the side of your body and not an additional weight like you were carrying a big bag.
Okay. Well, okay, tell us again, how do we find you online?
AshbyDesign.com. So it's A-S-H-B as in boy, design.com. And that'll go to my Facebook fan page. And then you say, oh no, I don't have Facebook. Then you can Google that. You can Google Ashby Design. And it it'll take you to Tumblr, Flickr, Twitter, and Facebook. So nice. All four of those things will be among the top searches.
Well, thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so all the iPads in the room are going to go running off into the corner when the LG comes out with their new Android-powered tablet. I look forward to that.
But there's no special bag for the LG power tablet yet.
Well, there will be.
She might make one.
I'm telling you, you know, with the iPad, I truly believe that device is something that we're going to see a lot more of, not necessarily from Apple, but from competitors. That whole genre, this whole new thing that's not a phone, it's not a computer, it's this thing in the middle. And the more and more I use mine, the more and more I find interesting things to do with it. Anyway, so that's good information. Let's talk about stuff that's coming up here, because we've got a few things going on.
We've got the July 15th Twilight Camp at 5:30 at Davis Kid, and that's coming up a week from today. And we're really excited about that. The last one was just
it was awesome.
Packed house. So.
And then in August, was it August 3rd is the first one?
August
4th.
And we have an official guest.
Great.
It's going to be Elizabeth Kawine of the Memphis Music Foundation, and she's going to be talking to us about how she is using social media over there, and we'll be excited to have her back.
Because no doubt she's moving and shaking over there, so that's great. So with that, we'll see you next week.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskall, available online at ericmaskall.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.